This week, our community, our region, was rocked by the sudden announcement that the Salvation Army was closing its doors after over 130 years of operating here in Pembroke. Overnight, the soup kitchen that fed up to 50 people a day, the food bank that helped an average of 60 families a week, the youth outreach program, and the Christmas hamper program were gone, leaving many high and dry and not knowing how they're going to survive without that help. I, with representatives from about 10 other church or church-based organizations, as well as The Grind, the Petawawa Pantry, and St. Joseph's Food Banks, the United Way, and the mayor of Pembroke and a city councilor, sat down to talk about this huge gap in services that has suddenly yawned open in front of us. We came because we know that there are people across our region for whom these services are a lifeline. We came because we're concerned about those in our community who depend on receiving food so that they can feed their families. You probably know the statistics better than I do. The numbers of working poor in our communities, the numbers of people who have jobs and housing but don't make enough to get by, and how that number goes up and down so quickly depending on our economy. The numbers of folks who are trying to survive on limited fixed incomes. The 3,000 or so children in Renfrew County who are living in poverty. And that's just here, close at home. Globally, the estimate is something like 800 million people are living on less than $2 a day. And despite differing economies and differing strengths of currency, that's an insufficient amount to live on, no matter how you look at it. Sometimes poverty, inequality, feels like this huge, overwhelming thing, especially when we step back and realize that we're not only fighting this amorphous thing called poverty, but also the systems and the deeply held values that create poverty and continue to contribute to its existence. Then we open the Bible to the gospel reading assigned for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we hear Jesus say, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me," as a justification for the costly expense of the perfume that Mary uses to anoint Jesus' feet while they're sitting down for dinner in Bethany, instead of spending that money on a poverty reduction strategy. You always have the poor with you. Have you heard that phrase before? Have you heard it used? Maybe used it yourself. There will always be poverty. There will always be people who are poor. I know I've heard it. I've heard it used to justify apathy or inaction. Heard it used to justify expenses on things that have nothing to do with caring for those who are vulnerable in our communities. Heard it to criticize people who work towards poverty reduction and the systematic change required to make that happen. What does it mean to fight against poverty when we have this reality all around us? You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Jesus said it. And over the years, over the centuries, this phrase has been used as an excuse to focus on spiritual needs, on people's spiritual well-being, to the exclusion of caring about their physical needs and physical well-being. Pray harder, not give people food. Thoughts and prayers, not working to change systems that lead to inequality. But I'm not so sure that that's what Jesus actually meant. Not that our spiritual needs are unimportant, but they cannot be in isolation from our physical needs and physical well-being. Because over and over in the gospel stories, we see Jesus offering hospitality to and receiving hospitality from those who had nothing, from those who were considered on the margins of society. We see Jesus sitting down and eating with, even providing food for, those who have nothing and those who were considered not okay to associate with. We can't separate Jesus from those who are living in poverty. Jesus brought the good news in tangible ways to those who are oppressed and vulnerable. Jesus challenged oppressive political systems and social systems that kept people in poverty and oppression. He recognized those needs around them and sought to fill them. Even this poor ragtag group of disciples, a group that might as well have been homeless, kept a common purse, we read in our gospel today, and used it to give to the poor that they encountered. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. But what if that's not how we're meant to read it? What if it isn't Jesus saying in a resigned voice, "You'll always have the poor with you, so get used to it. But you won't always have me, so enjoy it while it lasts." What if it's more like a knowing, a loving command, "You will always have the poor with you"? In other words, keep the poor close amongst you always. Love them. Feed them. Care for them. Not a statement of how things are, but a commandment about how they should be. In the context of today's reading, I think that works. It's a week before Passover. Jesus is sitting down for dinner in Bethany, just outside of the city of Jerusalem. He's with his friends, Mary, Lazarus, Martha. Then Mary, the same sister who wants to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him, gets up, takes some costly perfume, perfume so expensive that it probably cost about a year's salary, and comes to Jesus. The smell of the perfume wafts around the house, filling it, overwhelming it with the richest scent. Mary takes the perfume, pours it over Jesus' feet, and then wipes them off with her hair. This is an anointing. Mary has anointed Jesus, and in ancient Palestine, there were only two reasons that you would do that: coronation and burial. And this scene is in many ways both. Jesus is being shown to be king. Yes, a king that overthrows the standard systems of kingship, as we'll see next week when we enter Jerusalem with Jesus on a donkey on what we now call Palm and Passion Sunday. But it also shows that Jesus is going to die. He's going to be leaving the disciples. "I'm going away, but my mission remains the same," Jesus is saying to his friends. "So keep the poor amongst you always. My mission is still with you. Keep the poor amongst you always." This week with our confirmation class, we were talking about God's mission and how we all work with God to live out God's mission here on earth. Through a roundabout conversation, we got to talking about the idea, which is originally thought to have come to us from Teresa of Avila. "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. We are the hands and feet of Christ. When we stretch out our hands in love and offering, we are extending God to those around us. When we see a need and seek to fill it, we are bringing Christ into our community. As we go through this week into the last days of Lent, and then journey with Jesus towards the cross and death and then glorious resurrection, and as our community struggles to rally around those who have suddenly been left even more vulnerable with the removal of food services, how do we hear Jesus calling us to keep the poor amongst us always? How are we the hands and the feet of Christ? Thanks be to God for the love and the grace that is ours through the death and resurrection of Christ. Amen.